I shall lift a voice in praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out, sir.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of Rescue.
Taking advantage of your Kairos moment. Taking advantage of your Kairos moment. Everybody say Kairos moment. Come on, I can't hear you. Say Kairos moment. Now, when we talk about Kairos moment, we are talking about the opportune time. We are talking about the right season. When you read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, everybody go there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The verse number one, Bible makes us understand that everything has been arranged according to seasons. Everybody says seasons. The Bible says to everything there is a season, amen, and a time, an opportune time for every purpose under the heaven. God has arranged and set things to happen in their time. And so verse 2 broke it down. It says a time to be born. Are you reading with me? A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck or to harvest what you have planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. Can I hear an amen? This season is your time of rising. Oh, I said this season is your own time of rising. This season is your own time of lifting. Can I hear your amen like thunder? So there is a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. There is also a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. There is also a time to gain and a time to lose. There is a time to keep and there is a time to throw away. Tell somebody there is a time where you will gain and there is a time you must lose. That is how God has made things, because there are certain things you can never gain unless you first lose. Unless you first lose something, you can never gain another better than what you are losing. Whatever you have lost, may you gain better. Or I said, may you gain better. For you to gain one ministry, you lose another. For you to gain one business, you lose another. For you to gain one relationship, you lose another. Whatever you have lost is making way for what you are about to gain. Clap your two hands and say, I'm entering into my Kairos season. Oh, say, I'm entering into my Kairos season. So your Kairos season is your right season. Your right moment. A time to tear down. A time to sew up. A time to be silent. And a time to speak. Tell somebody there is a time you must be quiet. And there is a time you must be loud. Tonight is not a time to be quiet. It's the time to be loud. It's the time for your amen to be loud. It's the time for your prayers to be loud. When you get home among your enemies, it's the time for you to be quiet and for you to put your plans in place. Clap your two hands for the Lord. So there is a Kairos moment. There is a season. There is a time where God does things in our lives. Amen. Oh, amen. Are you following me? You know, and that is why in Psalm 102, the verse number 30, the Bible says, it says that, for thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time. The time has already been set before Zion came into existence. There is a time God has already set for your marriage. There is a time God has already set for you to have children. There is a time God has already set for you to prosper. There is a time God has set for you to be in school. There is a time God has set for you to be leading an organization. There is a time God has set for you to be married. There is a time God has set for you to be single. There is a time God has set for everything. I declare every time in which you are, may you never miss it. Oh, your amen can be a better one. Lift up your right and say, I will never miss my Kairos moment. I will never miss my opportune time. Hallelujah. The Bible says, for the time to, that has been set for her favor has come. Somebody, you are in your time of favor. You are in your time of lifting. You are in your time of prosperity. You are in your time of breakthrough. Shout, I'm in my time of breakthrough. Say, I'm in my time of favor. As you declare it, it will be so for you. Say, I am in my time of marriage. Say, I am in my time of fruitfulness. Say, I am in my time of enlargement. Say, I am in my time of prosperity. I am in my time of productivity. My life will be productive in this season. Clap your two hands and say, my opportune time is here. Say, my right time is here. Hallelujah. And so we are talking about Kairos. The right time, the opportune time, when God visits his people, when God shows up, you know, whenever you are in a Kairos moment, whenever you are in a Kairos moment, you'll be able to tell by certain characteristics, certain things around you can make you know that you are in a special season of your life, that you are in a moment of your life. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know, let me use this example. Our dear sisters will tell you, they can predict when their special season of fruitfulness is coming. They can predict when their special season of menstruation is coming. Every lady can predict, because over the years they have observed the calendar. So they can tell, when I start feeling this way, it means this is going to happen. I am in a certain season. When a woman is pregnant, she can tell by certain things that precedes, or certain characteristics or signs that begins to happen in their body. And they can tell that what I'm feeling and what I'm sensing means that I am in a certain season of my life. So when you are also in a Kairos season of your life, you are in a right season where certain things must be happening in your life, certain doors must be opening in your life, or certain opportunities must be coming your way around that season. If you are sensitive enough, you'll be able to start discerning certain signs, certain feelings, certain things around you. Some of the things that you can be sensing is that when you are in your Kairos moment, you will be experiencing the appearances of God. Everyone say, the appearances of God. And depending on your level of spirituality, you either sense that God is speaking to you about something, or you either sense that God is talking to you about something, or you either be having dreams, or you will be having visions of a certain things over and over and over. And when it is repeating, it is giving you a signal that you are around that season where that thing can be a possibility for you, when that enlargement can be a possibility for you, when that marriage can be a possibility for you, when that door can open for you, when that miracle can happen for you. I pray that may you never miss such seasons of your life. Are you here with me, somebody? Sometimes it may not just be dreams or visions, or you hearing the appearances of God. You know, when you read Genesis chapter 18, the verse number 1, Bible says that, you see, as at this time, Abraham had waited for the Lord for many years. For the fruit of the womb, he has waited for a child for about 25 years, and he was around. He didn't know that he was around a season where his son was going to be born. He didn't know he was around a season where his wife was going to get pregnant. That he had entered into that year, into that season. But the Bible says that the verse 1, and now the Lord appeared unto Abraham by the terebinth tree of Mamre in Hebron, while he was sitting under a certain tent minding his own business. The Lord started appearing to him. When your miracle is about to happen, you start having some appearances of God. It may be in the form of dreams, it may be in the form of visions, it may be certain spiritual signals that you begin to receive that makes you feel like, no, it's time for me to take this decision, it's time for me to step into this unknown, it's time for me to invest into this area, it's time for me to do this, and it's time for me to do that, or it's time for me to marry, or it's time for me to rise to the next level. You begin to see certain things in your dreams, in your visions, certain things around you, because you are in a certain season. I get what I'm saying. I told you some time ago that before my wife went to school, most of the times around that season, she'll have dreams that she's taking exams. She'll have dreams that she's taking exams. And if you're an African Christian, when you see yourself taking exams, you say retrogression. But you see, it was an appearance of God to her. The last time I asked her, so after you started the school, have you seen it? I've never seen it again. It has stopped. Because the Lord was giving a signal that you are in the season where you must go back to school. You are in the season where you must be in school. You are in the season where you must change your level. There are some of you, the Lord is showing you certain dreams about certain things. And they are things of enlargement. Some of them, they are things of the unknown. You have fears about them. But as the Lord is appearing to you, your miracle is also around the corner. May you never miss your Kairos moment. I said, may you never miss your Kairos moment. You know, sometimes if you want to see, as I may be being very spiritual about it, sometimes you can easily tell a season. If you are a young lady and you are in a certain season, you see that all your friends are getting married. It's a sign that you are in a season to be married. It's a sign. It's a sign. Biologically, you are in that season. There's no spirituality about it. Biologically, you see that all your mates are now getting married. Getting married, that means that you are in a certain season, because a certain season will come that you will not be seeing anybody getting married. You will be seeing people attending funeral. That means you have also entered. The moment you start attending funerals of your mates, it should tell you that you are in a certain season where you can die at any time. Oh, true. Go and ask your parents when they started going. They were not attending the funerals of their mates. They were attending weddings of their mates. Naming ceremonies of their mate. But there is a certain age, by the time you are 70 years, you are likely to attend more funerals of your friends than any good news of your friends. It's a season. It's a Kairos moment. So when you see that it is happening for others, look at what Gabriel told Mary in Luke chapter 1 verse 36. Gabriel told Mary, your cousin Elizabeth is also pregnant of this same order. Is also pregnant with a son. By this same order. In other words, God has visited your neighbor. So whatever God is doing for your neighbor, that means God is in the neighborhood. He can do yours for you before he goes. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when you see that you are in a church and everybody is getting married, it means that you are in a certain season, a certain miracle is being stirred up, a certain water is being stirred up. If you are forceful enough, you can also enter. I'm telling you. You can also enter. If you are clapping, do it better. So that is how to be able to decode when you are in Kairos seasons. Sometimes you have a burden in your spirit. A burden in your spirit. Sometimes you feel like praying. A burden to pray. You don't know why, but you feel a burden to pray. Because God knows a certain season you have entered into. Either it's a good season or a bad season, he knows. And so he may be prompting you to pray. And you'll be having a prayer burden. That you keep praying, but you don't get satisfied. You keep praying. And the more you pray, the more you feel like you should pray. Don't joke with such seasons. You sleep for a while, you wake up. And you feel like praying. You feel like praying. Or you keep having certain terrible dreams. About somebody in your life. It means that you are in a season where something is about to happen to that person. And so you get a burden. A burden to pray or to fast. A strong, or sometimes when you are around your season, the devil can start attacking you strongly. That's one of the ways to decode seasons. When you are in a certain season, the devil can be attacking you. Like when Joseph got closer to his season of breakthrough, that was when the temptations of Potiphar started coming. Certain temptations can start coming your way because you are in a certain season that you are about to make it. And the devil knows it, so he will set you up. I pray that may you be able to discern every Kairos season you find yourself. Because you see, when Kairos seasons passed, they may take very long before they can come back again. And for some of the Kairos seasons, they may never come back again. Yeah. Some of the seasons, they may never come back. Again, that's why when I sense that God is doing something, I want to push myself into it. I may not have what it takes, but I know that once God is giving me that impression and that sensation and that feeling that this thing is possible, this thing must happen, I want to push myself into it because I believe that God has gone ahead and he will make a way. Hallelujah. Or amen. Or amen. Are you following what I'm saying? And so, what must you do to take advantage of Kairos moment? When you observe a Kairos moment, that somewhere, it looks like you are in your season. You are in a certain season of breakthrough, or you are in a certain season of testimony, or you are in a certain season of a miracle, or something good is about to happen, and you can sense it, you can feel it, you have a burden, you feel like something. How do you take advantage? Somebody will say, how do you key into it? How do you enter into that breakthrough for that wind not to pass? You see that the Bible compares Christians to eagles. Hello? Every Christian is compared to an eagle. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31. It says that they that wait upon that, they shall renew their strength. They shall be like what? Eagles. They will soar with wings like the eagles. If you study about eagles, eagles do not soar unless there is a wind. They wait patiently for the wind. They wait patiently for the wind. So if there is no wind, the eagle will still be on the highest tree or on the highest mountain, just waiting for the right wind. And once the eagle senses the wind blowing from one side, he now jumps and spread its wings. So you see, eagles don't fly like other birds. Smaller birds, they fly this way. They have to flap their wings. Eagles don't really flap for long. Eagles soar. There's a difference between soaring and flapping. Are you getting what I'm saying? When we say you are soaring, means that a floaty or floaty, a one from animal. So always lift up your eyes and look at eagles. Or very big birds far up there. You see that they have their wings spread. They are always soaring. So they need the wind so that they can soar with the wind. And that's why every Christian can only do well with the Holy Spirit. With a current, because that's the wind of the Spirit. With a current, the Holy Spirit. You can't do well as a child of God without the Holy Spirit. And when you wait on God, what He gives you is the anointing, the Holy Spirit. That helps you to be able to soar in prosperity, to soar in breakthrough, to soar in business expansion, to soar in whatever you are looking for. I get what I'm saying. And so, the eagle knows Kairos moment. Because when that moment passes, you have to wait for another wind. And it may take long. Have you ever been to the beach before? Those of you who don't know how to swim in the sea, when you visit Bola Beach. How many of you have been to Bola Beach before? In Accra, our favorite beach is Bola Beach. Independence. And then those of you who have gone to Dansoman too, you added to it. They are all baller beaches. Very dirty. On the shore. That's why we call them baller beach. You know, those days we walk from Odoko to Accra Independence and go and swim and walk back. Walk back. If we don't have money, we are going to swim. We come with Jama. Amen. But you see, I learned something in those days. That if you don't know how to swim in the high seas or in the sea, you wait for the tides. You wait for the waves. When the waves come, even if you don't know how to swim, you can do something. How many of you understand what I'm saying? When the wave, you wait for the biggest wave coming, or a very big one, then you see that everybody will shout, one big one is coming. Then we run to meet it. Then once it rolls and rolls and gets to us, we jump. And then, it will carry you. You don't know how to swim, but you'll find yourself at the shore. Amen. I've watched people who surf. Those who surf, they stand on something like a skate on the sea. Then they will be surfing on the sea. They wait for Kairos season. And sometimes, if the best one passes, it may take long. You may lose your sports or your competition because you missed a certain. Most of the best surfers, I've watched movies on surfing. Most of the best surfers in the world, they always look out. They have instinct. They have a certain instinct. They like, they wait. How many of you have watched that movie, that surfing girl whose one hand was chopped? It's a true life story. They always wait. It looks like the others are surfing, others are jumping with smaller waves, but there is something on the inside of them that tells them that wait. And there is something, they hear a certain wind blowing, then they feel like a bigger one is coming. And nobody will see it, but they start moving. They start moving, and all of a sudden, a mighty wave just rises, and that makes them champions of the world. Are you getting what I'm saying? So every child of God must know Kairos moment. There is a season where you must marry. May you not miss it. May you not follow your mother's advice and miss it. There is a season you must marry. May you not follow your friends and miss it. There is a season you must be employed. May you not follow people and miss it. There is a season to start out as an entrepreneur. If you miss that, you may never find it again. There's a season. There's a season. If God is calling you into ministry, there's a season to start. If you miss that season, it may be impossible for you to succeed in it. God works with time and season. May you never miss your season. And now to somebody by you, in this month of September, the Lord will direct you. You will not miss your season. And prophesy to him, I sense a Kairos season around you. I sense a season where God is about to lift you up. When God is about to connect you. When God is about to open that door for you. I feel you are in a certain Kairos season. You must do all that you can. Because this is the time the Lord has been waiting for you. And if you can take the hard decision and you can step out in faith into the unknown, the Lord will come to your rescue. Clap your two hands and say, my time is now. Say, my time is now. So you look at the life of Abraham. I was studying there and the Lord gave me this word for you. Look at the life of Abraham. Go back in Genesis 18. Genesis 18. The Bible says that after 25 years of waiting, Abraham was sitting under the tent, under the tree. And then Abraham saw three men. Everybody said three men. The Bible didn't say three angels. Saw three men. That means that around that time, they did not appear like angels. Or as God did not appear like God. He came in the form of a human being with two other angels. They were three. When you read the whole chapter, you understand what I'm saying. God decided that he was going to visit Sodom and Gomorrah. To destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And God decided to pass the route that God used to go to Sodom and Gomorrah was Abraham's compound. Abraham's area. It's like God decided to pass by the roadside. And somewhere, somehow, Abraham saw God and the two angels going. But God had taken the form of a human being, and the angels too have taken, because angels can manifest as human. If you read the Bible, you see that it's very, very, very consistent. They come to talk to you. You think they are angels. You think they are human beings. Until maybe you start offering sacrifice, or they want to see, then you start that they are going up. For example, the angel that came to speak with Manoah, Samson's father. Are you getting it? Yeah. So they appear like human beings. God can appear like a human being. That's why he decided to appear like Jesus. Like a human being. They called him Jesus. So these three, when you read on, you realize that there are times that now he now speaks to him. That is there something that I have to do that I will not tell my servant Abraham? To realize that God was there, but he behaved like a human. So now let me put that aside. So they were just passing. And it had been 25 years. Everybody said 25 years. And Abraham was waiting for that son that God had promised him. And for some of you, you have fasted, you have prayed, and you are just waiting for that miracle. Some of you have been waiting for years that God, you promised me that you are going to do this and you are going to do that for me. But I seem not to know when, I seem not to know how, and I seem not to see it. Some of you have been waiting for the miracle. You have been waiting for the testimony. You have been waiting for that breakthrough. And the Bible says that as he was just sitting, after 25 years, he saw three men who were walking by the roadside. And then the Bible said, and when he raised his eyes and looked up, behold, three men were standing a little distance from him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and to bow down his face to the ground. And what did he say? And what did he say? Verse 4, quickly, please. And what did he say? And Abraham said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight. You see three human beings And then you look at the one in the middle and say, my Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, that means that even though they appeared as human, but Abraham was spiritually sensitive. He was sensitive enough to discern God among men. I pray for you in the name of Jesus that your eyes shall be opened in the spirit, that in your kairos moment, you will be spiritually sensitive to what God is saying, to what God is doing, to who God is bringing, to where God is leading you. Is somebody hearing me what I'm saying at all? Because Abraham was not told that this is the year Isaac will come. Abraham was not told that this is God working like a human being. But the Bible says that when he set eyes on God and the other two men, he went and bowed down and said, my Lord. That's spiritual sensitivity. And a lot of time that is our problem. We pray about miracles, and yet when they appear, we cannot recognize them. We cannot recognize them because they don't appear in the form and the format we expected. You prayed for a husband, and when the husband appeared, it did not appear in the form and the shape you expected. God showed you the end result, but you met him in his raw state. So you conclude that this is not the one God showed me. The one God showed me, he was descending from KLM. He was coming on Flight Emirates. He was descending at the airport from an aeroplane. But the one I am seeing, am I speaking to someone? So sometimes God speaks to you concerning a decision to make. You see the instruction, you see the dream, the vision, the direction, and it looks glorious. But when you get closer and you try to start it, it looks difficult, it looks hard, it looks rough. And you're like, this is not what God told me. I remember one time I asked God, is this why you called me? Is this why? Because the kind of people I was seeing in my early years when I started, there was no hope. I said, God, is this why you called me? To these children, is this why you called me? And it took one man of God to explain the mystery to me. I went to a program. Bishop Tudor Bismarck was teaching about seeds. And he taught the principle of how God will show you a plantation, but he will not give you a plantation, he will give you seeds. And as you cultivate the seeds, you can have a plantation. And I caught it. I said, okay. That's why God gave me young people. If I take good care of them, God is going to raise a mighty army. And that's what is happening so far. That's what is happening. Young people. So I'm happy with young people always sitting in front of me. I'm happy with young people like yourselves. I'm happy because you are all seeds. Next 20 years, someone will look at residents and say, hey, Charlie, you people, you are blessed though. But you came as seeds that I had to work on. So Abraham was able to discern beyond the human shape and form. He was saying that there was God behind it. May you have the ability to discern God behind the situation. May you have the spiritual ability that God is behind this one. God is in this marriage, even though it looks a bit difficult. That God is in this job, even though it looks a bit challenging. That God is in this instruction, even though it is starting small. I get what I'm saying. When you are in your kairos season, the first thing you need is spiritual sensitivity. Abraham would have missed the year of his delivery if he had missed that first step. He saw three men, and yet he was sensitive. From tonight, your eyes are open. Oh, I say your eyes are open. Don't be like Mary Magdalene, who was looking for Jesus. Every disciple left the tomb. Still, she stayed there, weeping and crying. Bible says that she decided to pass at the back of the tomb. And she saw Jesus. When she saw Jesus, guess what? She did not recognize Jesus. She said to Jesus, Gardener, please, have you seen my Lord? She saw Jesus and was calling Jesus a farmer. And was calling Jesus a gardener. And could not realize that his master is standing right in front of her. Some of you are crying for miracles you are holding, but you don't know. Some of you are crying for breakthroughs that is staring right in front of you, but you are refusing to enter because they don't look as attractive as God showed you. They don't look as nice as God told you. But listen to me. The Bible says that this is how the kingdom of God operates. It operates like a mustard seed. That's how Jesus put it. He said, this is how the kingdom of God operates. It operates as a mustard seed. A man found it and planted it, and then it grew to become the biggest in the forest with branches and with leaves. Are you getting what I'm saying? So most of the time when God is doing something, he doesn't start big. He doesn't start nice. He doesn't start beautiful. He started difficult. He started rugged, rough. So when you are facing challenges, don't say God is not in. I get what I'm saying. When you are facing challenges, don't easily conclude that, oh, I didn't hear well. The fact that you heard well does not mean that it will be rosy. When God is doing something, he works with a master seed principle. Though your beginning may be small. Tell somebody, though your beginning may be small, your end shall greatly increase. Though today you may be a nobody, but very soon you'll be a somebody. And people will start seeking after you. Because God is still working on you. But please be sensitive. I get what I'm saying. So that you don't miss it. You don't miss it. Be sensitive. You have two different jobs. Be sensitive who you are choosing. What you are choosing. You have two different opportunities. Be sensitive to the one you are choosing. Because that is how a lot of people miss their Kairos moment. Lack of sensitivity. Mind you, not all that glitters. Or you don't know that. Not all that glitters is gold. And yet, shen, adebiana, eyesika. Some will appear glittering by his copper. Amen. I get what I'm saying. Shakaparakatash. Am I talking to someone tonight? I'm going to pray with you certain prayers for the month of September. And I believe September is the ninth month. Tell somebody, September is the ninth month. And prophetically, the number nine, it represents delivery. It's really the time of life. The time of life. That means that anything you have conceived can be born in that season. Every woman who is pregnant can give birth in her ninth month unless something interrupts. Has the ability. You may not be able to give birth at the sixth month, but as for the ninth month, dear, you can give birth. As for the ninth month, dear, your marriage can manifest. As for the ninth month, dear, your company can be born. As for the ninth month, dear, your ministry can be born. As for the ninth month, dear, that thing you are praying for can appear. But you need to be spiritually sensitive to know it when you see it. Clap your two hands. Number two. Read on. Genesis 18, please. The Bible says that he ran to them. And after he ran to them, he bowed to them and said, "My Lord, my Lord, if I have found favor in thy sight." So what do you see there? You see the key of humility. That when you are in your right season, everybody say right season. I told you there is a season for every promise of God for your life to happen. There's a season. When that time passes, it may take you 40 years. It may take you 5 years. Listen, I have driven on the Ofancourt Road. The Achimota Ofancourt Road. How many of you have used that road before? Achimota Ofancourt Road. I think, where was I going? I was going to there is a place. How do you call that place? There's a certain town that you can use to Kwabena. Either they call, is it Taifa or Tantra? Or, there's a place you pass on your right. You can use that road to Kwabena. I'm not good at the names there, but I was going around that side, but I really didn't know my way well. Then, I was in the middle lane driving. And when you are driving, it becomes worse. Because that road, I don't know how they did it. But if you miss that right turn, that outer lane, where the buses are, is it VIP bus or something bus? If you miss that traffic light, for the go, you keep going. You keep going till you arrive at Ofanko. You'll be angry, but you go. That was my state. I was angry, but I was going. You can't stop. You can't turn back. No U-turn. No right turn. I kept going. Because I missed one. Listen to me. If you lose sensitivity and you miss a certain junction of your life, of your destiny, it can take you 5 years. It can take you 10 years. There are certain places God position you there. If you live there wrongly, it can take you 10 years. If you there are certain jobs, we don't lose them. If you lose them wrongly, it will take you 10 years to bounce back in life. Yeah. There are certain relationships, we don't lose them. If you lose them, it will take you 10 years to find another. I'm telling you. Tell somebody, Kairos moment. When the wind is blowing is the best time to sow. I'm telling you. And you must pray tonight that, Lord, may I be sensitive enough not to miss my time, my timing, my right timing for anything I'm looking for. May I be sensitive enough. Abraham was sensitive enough. I returned from Ofanko, and as I was coming, instead of using the overhead, I didn't use another outer lane, and I missed it again. And I that day I was double angry. I was frustrated because I was wasting fuel. I don't joke with my fuel. But there was nothing I can. Listen to me. There are certain mistakes when you make, you will be angry, but you can't change it. I was playing worship song in the car. Typical of me, I pray in the Holy Ghost. As I'm driving, I'm praying. So I was still praying when I made the mistake. I was still in the car, angry, still playing the worship song. But I still have to go to the end and start the journey for Matimota again. And if I miss it again, I'll go again. So sometimes you will be serving God and you will serve Him with all your heart. But for a certain decision you made and for a certain mistake you made, you will still be suffering in that mistake while serving God till you get to the place where you find a U-turn for your life. Otherwise, you keep going. That's the mystery of life. That's why we don't joke with right time. There is a time to be born. There's a time to love. Bible says there's a time to love. That means there's a time for marriage. There's a time to love. You see, a lot of ladies, when they enter into their time of marriage, then they play around because they are young. Everybody's proposing to them. Then they fool about. Then they enter into 29. Then they see that they have injury time. Is that level with 5 minutes and the match is over? Then they start praying all kinds of prayers. Then they start praying all kinds of prayers. But you see, when they were in their season of marriage, when they were looking all flowerful, and God gave them good people, they judged them wrongly. They could not discern. And so they will be in church. And then pastor will pray all his heart. But you see, a certain season is gone. And it will take the mercy of God. That's why the Bible says that, for thou will arise and have mercy. You see, when it comes to seasons, what you need is mercy. Lift up your right and say, Lord, have mercy on me. It's my season of prosperity. A lot of you are in your 30s. Some of you are in your 20s. You're already in a certain season. If you miss the seasons of your life, I don't know whether I'm speaking to someone. Bible says that he ran and he humbled himself. Humility, say humility, is a key to taking advantage of your season. A lot of people miss their season because of pride. Bible says God resists the proud. If you are proud, then God himself will stop you from the way. God himself will stop you. You cannot go anywhere. Not Satan, God will stop you. Like you have a door and God says, I will not let you enter. God will stop you because you are proud. Bible says that, listen to me, Abraham bowing down to three human beings. If you know about Abraham already, by that time he had gone to war and fought against certain kings, and he won. Bible says when he was going, he went with 500 soldiers. I would say 500 soldiers. Have you ever seen any rich man in Ghana who has 500 soldiers in his house? Abraham was a rich man who had 500 army soldiers in his house. So when there was war in Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot was arrested and captured, he went with his army, one man with an army, to go and fight. So that man, if it were to be you and I, you can't bow down, true or not true. You are a big man already, rich man, powerful man. So for him to sit somewhere and see three men who were going there somewhere, not coming to his house, run to them and bow down and call them my Lord. Say humility. Pride has taken a lot of people from the seat that is originally theirs. A seat that is originally theirs. Where you are supposed to sit, others are sitting. Oh, Vashti. Esther is sitting on your own seat. Oh, Vashti, because you are proud. Because you think you are the most beautiful. But for every Vashti, there is an Esther. And for every Saul, there is a David. Be warned. Tell somebody, be warned. Be warned. Don't think that without you, it will collapse. Without you, the business cannot do anything. Without you, the church, if I leave him now, the church will collapse. You don't know what you're talking about. For every Vashti, there is an Esther. And for every Saul, there is a David. I'm telling you, God has a replacement for everybody. So when God gives you a seat, you maintain it. I get what I'm saying? Because most of the times, when the new people take over, they'll do better than you. When David took over, he performed better than Saul. When Esther took over, she performed better than Vashti. Yeah. May you not lose your seat in your office for someone. May you not lose your place in the life of that gentleman. May you not lose your place in the life of that good woman God has given you. May you not lose your place in this church. May you not lose your place in your destiny. Your destiny helpers. May you not lose your place in their lives. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Humility. Humble yourself. Number three, hospitality. Hospitality or favor. Number three is favor. Favor. He said, if I have found favor in your sight, then come to my house and eat, I beg you. If I found favor, that means that if your time is up for a miracle, God must give you favor. And tonight, we will pray for favor for the month of September. September is the ninth month. Ninth month is where people give birth. So every miracle you are waiting for, may it be delivered in this month. Your amen can be a better amen. I say your amen can be a better amen. For every miracle you are expecting, may it show up right in this month. And it will happen by favor. He had favor. And you also have favor. Number four is hospitality. He was kind. He was into giving. He was into supporting. Bible says that he told the strangers. Imagine you see strangers and you beg them that come to my house and eat. Let me give you bread. Let me give you water. You look tired so that you will rest. He didn't know he was in his Kairos moment. He didn't know he was about to get Isaac. He had waited for 25 years. But because he was kind to strangers, he was able to get Isaac out of it. Bible said to us in Hebrews that some by their hospitality, they entertain strangers. They entertain angels on our way. Some entertain strangers not knowing that they were angels. and he was talking about Abraham. There are certain strangers who come your way. Your kindness to them will open a door for you. They will be your angels. They will be your angels. Your kindness to that young guy. Your kindness to that old woman. Your kindness to that young man. Your kindness to that sister. Your goodness. Your kindness even in church. Supporting God's work. Giving. Being kind. Being generous. It is one of the ways we enter into our Kairos season. And we take advantage of it. May you be hospitable. May you be hospitable. May you be kind. May you be generous. You see that in verse 3 to 5. And then number 4, 5, sacrifice. Number 5 is sacrifice. Bible says that after he told him, come and eat bread, then he quickly went to kill a goat and prepare the goat for him. Do you know what it means to go and kill a goat and prepare soup for somebody to eat? It's a lot of work. The guys who have ever killed goats before and dressed the goat. Have you ever killed goat before? If you're a guy and you have killed goat before, let me see your hands. I know that as for Mr. Alote, he's an expert in killing goats. Elder Alote always kills goats. But I don't know of you. But some of you have not killed goats, but you have killed cats. Let me see how you have ever killed a cat before. Joseph, you've killed Brad Joseph before. Killed a cat. What about chicken? You've killed fowl before. If you're a boy, you have not killed fowl before, go back to your father's house. By the way, I've never killed fowl before. I have to go back to my father's house. Because you don't even have a heart to kill fowl. But when I see you killing animals, I feel for them. I feel pity. But I'm not sure I can take knife and cut that. I can't. Anybody I see killing a goat is a potential murderer. Anybody, like any human being who has the ability to kill goat, I'm afraid of you, but I just didn't tell you. Because they have big throats and they'll be struggling with you and you are still able to hold them with one hand. And all the meh they are doing, you still did not have sympathy. You were able to slash their throat and the blood oozed out, plenty blood. Hey, you are wicked. You are just one step away from killing a human being. Out of those who kill cattle, for them, they are killers, Angaza. Clap your two hands for them. But he sacrificed. So that was sacrifice. A lot of work. He took the goat and slew the goat. And he prepared the goat. We call it, everybody say sacrifice. Anytime you sense that you are in your season, one of the ways to take advantage of it is to sacrifice. Abraham saw that these are angels. Abraham saw that there is God here. And he took a goat and sacrificed. They didn't ask him for it. He himself keyed into the timing. Whenever you sense that, hey, this lady has married. That lady has married. Hey, Lord, I'm in my season of marriage. Sacrifice something for the Lord. Lay a sacrifice on the altar for God. The Lord, I can see that Ajua is married. Kwame is married. They are my mate. This one has given birth. That one has given birth. Praise God for them. Let me sacrifice on it. Abraham saw the presence of God and he sacrificed. Anytime you start having dreams of certain things that tells you that God is around or God is about to do something for you, sacrifice. I said, do what? Sacrifice. I said, do what? Sacrifice. Anytime you see that, Charlie, you are around a certain age and you need a certain miracle that is related to that age, sacrifice on it. Abraham entered and took advantage of the Kairos moment through sacrifice. And then afterwards, the Bible says service. Number 6 or whatever. Service. Service. The sacrifice is verse 7. Service. Verse 8. Verse 8. Bible says that as he prepared the food for them and they were eating, he stood by them. When you go to the restaurant, which people come to stand while you are eating? Servants. Servants. And that's why when he bowed to them in verse 3, he said, your servant. Come into my house, my Lord. I'm your servant. Abraham was a servant. Listen to me. Sometimes we miss our right moment because of lack of service. You are in a workplace, you are in an office, and instead of you working well, you are not serving. You are not serving your boss. You are not serving the company. You are not serving well. And when they sack you, you don't understand. You have lost your season because you lack service. You are in a church. And you are not serving.
You come to church, you leave. There's nothing you do in the house of God. You are just a worshiper. You are not a servant. Servants are those who are standing, doing something. People came to sing. People came to clean. People came to wash the place. People came to arrange. People are playing. People are doing something. People are preaching. You only came to receive. No! Tell somebody, be a servant in the house of God. And tell him, be a servant wherever you are. Tell him, be a servant wherever you are. Because it's a key. Jesus asked them a question. Which of you want to go up? They all lifted up their hands. And then Jesus told them, whoever wants to be the biggest, he should be the servant. He should be the servant. He should be the servant. Don't go after the big post. Rather, decide to go for the smaller. Decide to be the servant. Because the way to the top is down. Everybody say, the way to the top is down. There is no high jumper that jumps high. Every high jumper goes low before going high. True or not true? Haven't you watched athletics? Back in school, were you not jumping? Before you jump, you have to bend your knee. If you are refusing to bend your knees, you can't go up. It's a principle of life. If you don't go down, you can't go up. You have to first go down before you can go up. Except a seed falls to the ground, it abides but one. But when it falls and it dies, and everybody think there is hopelessness for him, that is when he will shoot up after some years. And when he shoots up after some years, he will start rising and start bearing fruit. And everybody will say, not knowing what he said, God said he should go and do it, is true. But when you fall, you are getting rotten. They will say, is it that you are hungry? Is it that God didn't send you? Am I speaking to you?
Yeah.
Service. Tell somebody, service. Yes. Jesus took water in towel and was cleaning the legs. The people say, as I have done, that's what you should do. Service. If you serve the people of God, there is no way you will not be made their head. There is no way. There is no way. There is no way. Once you are serving them, you'll be made their caretaker. Because every leader is looking for servant leaders. People who are already serving. That's why when you enter into a church, they look at somebody who is doing something. Then they say, okay, we want to make you a leader. They never look at someone who is doing nothing and make them a leader. You always look at somebody who is doing something in the church. Somebody who is busily doing something in the church. Amen. Tell somebody about you. Find something and do here in this church. It's a key to your rising. It's a key. When you are in your Kairos moment, that gentleman is watching you. You have crossed your leg. You have crossed your leg. You have visited your in-law and you have crossed your leg. Oh, boomer. You are watching your mother-in-law washing dishes and coming to serve you because you are a guest. You have just been disqualified, just that you were not told. You were not told. You are around, you see an elderly person carrying something, and then you could not help the person. Somebody is watching you. Somebody is watching you. A certain destiny helper is watching you. He watched the way you bypass that old man. And then, this lady doesn't have attitude. He watched the way you bypass that young man. Then, this guy doesn't have an attitude. Yeah. Service. Service. Promotion is only given to people in the workplace by service. They don't say how do we even call it? Best big man. The only best worker. Best worker. Best teacher. Best. That's it. They look at the one who is doing the work. What is the reward for hard work? Let me hear you clearly. What is the reward for hard work? The reward for hard work is more work. Just that every more work has a title. So you are brought into a higher title. And you see it as if you are post-conscious, you see it as title. But if you are workaholic, you see it as work. And the Bible looks at the work, not the post. Yeah. I'm just a reverend minister. But a whole senior bishops come to the church, picks the microphone, and for about 4 times, he cannot stop calling me bishop. And he has to correct himself and still make it over and over to the point where they have to argue in their house that how old am I? Because they are seeing a reverend but doing the work of a bishop. So I don't carry the title, but I'm doing the work. And when you are doing the work, the title will chase you. But when you are not doing the work, the title will run out. You'll be chasing the title, you'll never get it. Do you get the principle? When you are in your kairos moment, when you see that, this is the time for me to rise to this level. That's the time that you serve. It's not the time you chop post. The time you serve. Clap your two hands. Then finally, when you see or you sense that you are in your right time, it is the time for you to have faith. Tell somebody, it's the time to have faith. You didn't say it well. Tell somebody, it is time to have faith. Tell him you are in the ninth month. It is time to have faith. Whatever must happen will happen. It is time to have faith for a delivery of that miracle. You are in the ninth month. Don't waste your own time. When the angel of the Lord told Abraham, where is your wife? Now listen, over here, from verse 11, check it, to verse 14. We are going to rise to pray. Now listen, over here, when the angel of the Lord came, he was dealing with Abraham. Do you understand? It was Abraham whose time was up. Do you know that the promise was not to Sarah? The promise was to Abraham. It was not to Sarah. So whatever Sarah does is non-fa. That's not what God is marking. Hello, are you getting what I'm saying? God is dealing with Abraham. Lord, Sarah, all those people, they just followed. They are all connected. But the main person God was dealing with was Abraham. And Abraham's time to have Isaac had come. The season had come. And God was dealing with him and was passing his test. And was left with the last test. After 25 years, when the angel tells you, after eating and belching, then the angel tells you that, where is your wife? They say, oh, my wife is in the kitchen. Then the angel tells you that 9 months from now, your wife will give birth. He didn't say that your wife will get pregnant. He said your wife will give birth to a son. 9 months. That means that as I'm talking to you now, the clock has started ticking. What you have done, you have entered into it. So the clock has started ticking. So 9 months from now, you deliver. It's like September. Any prophecy released 31st, September, it must start happening. It may fail January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August. But September, it must happen. I declare that every prophecy hanging over your life, this month of September, it is being given birth to. It is happening for you. It is happening for you. Son, it's my time of delivery. So when the angel told him, he could have said, oh, I saw for Amaba. I haven't you heard that thing before? If you give a pastor a seed, no, you see that there is prophesying. Ah, may God. It may be true. It may be true that when they are satisfied, they speak. But it works. When Isaac ate and became satisfied, he released blessings upon Jacob. And it happened. I get what I'm saying. It did what? Happen. So when a man of God is satisfied, or you give a man of God an offering, and the offering touches him, and he releases prophecies on you, it works. Tell somebody it works. Because he's blessing you with his soul. That's the principle. And his spirit. Deep from the bowels of his heart. It works more than any other thing. But you see, Abraham did not mock at the prophecy. Like some of you would have mocked. 25 years, my chain, a baba, my chain 25 years. And now, me kumu drank a krama, we drank a krama, we did. And they say, me kumu in chains, we drank back a kumu, me kumu in a onkom, shaba, 25 years, we near she. How many of you can wait for 25 years and when you come to church and then come to give offering, I take the offering and I tell you that this is the time your marriage is appearing. You will laugh. That was somebody offering. But you see, Abraham passed the test. The angel said it. Abraham said, you, I believe you. And his wife was in the kitchen doing kokonsa. The lady started doing cocos, and not nowadays. In the Bible days. Bible said that she was standing behind, listening. The way she heard it, she started laughing. In her heart. Not with her mouth. In her heart. Everybody watch me. She was laughing where? In her heart. God doesn't just hear what you say. He also sees your heart. You may say, yes, daddy, but in your heart, what are you saying? You may laugh, but in your heart, you have frowned. You may make your face indifferent, but in your heart, you are laughing. Sarah was behind. She didn't laugh for anybody to hear. But in her heart, she was laughing. Where did you come? She was laughing. Then the angel turned and said, Sarah, why are you laughing? In fact, I can see you where you are in your room. Why are you laughing? They said, oh, I'm not laughing, please. Oh, I'm not laughing. Oh. Then the angel said, no, you were laughing in your heart. The angel showed her where she was laughing. In your heart. Then the angel asked her, verse 14, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything? This September, I know January you were believing. February you were still believing. March you were still believing. April, May, June. And now it is September. And you feel like giving up. But God says I should ask you a question. That is there anything too hard? Is there a situation that is beyond God's intervention? What is your answer? What is your answer? I want to hear your answer. What is your answer? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Even if they have cut off your leg and God says that you have a new leg, it is still possible. It's still possible. Just believe it. Where will it come from? Don't ask. It will happen. It will just happen. It's possible. There were people who were born without testicles, and at a miracle prayer, testicles landed in their scrotum. Just like that. There are people that doctors have taken out their womb. It's not like they have taken out through surgery. Everybody saw womb taken out. And yet, they were prayed for and the womb returned. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Even a dead body can be resurrected. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. A body that they have taken all the parts and whatever out, taking everything out, can still have life. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Clap your two hands for it. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. So your marriage is very possible. The children you are believing God is very possible. The good job you are believing God for is very possible. The enlargement is very possible. The breakthrough is very possible. Clap your two hands and say, it is possible. Rise up to your feet.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.